Yosef Yitzchak.
Yes.
I did not write this question, but I do like it. Do Hasidim have fun and enjoy their life? Is there intimacy, for example, as boring as Hebrew school?
Or would you see that question?
Another question, which reminds me of another question that I did not ask. Neither of these questions were mine. Somebody was bold and brazen enough to ask this question, and hopefully it won't offend anyone. It didn't seem to offend you at the time. You gave a good answer, and I was waiting 15 years ago to see the kind of answer you would give. Someone asked you, what's the deal with this hole in the sheep?
You better ask the audience. Is anyone here under 21?
It's
just a joke. We're not, don't worry about it.
Don't worry. It's all under control. So you gave a good answer there. Well, I thought it was good. It was cool. You were cool. Little things that people say, little gestures, they attract or repel. This attracted. You said, this is ridiculous. My wife is a beautiful woman. Enough said. She is. Is it as boring as Hebrew school?
Hebrew school's not boring.
No, I'm just saying, if I say it's not as boring as Hebrew school, doesn't say much.
Well, you got to elaborate. Cold flosser.
You want to pour it on my head?
It's not that tough.
Do Hasidim have fun? That's a delightful question, and a fun question. Is their intimacy as boring as Hebrew school? I'm not going to repeat the second question, sorry. There is a lovely story in the Midrash about it. The Midrash. What was so funny?
Saved by the story.
Is part of the Judaic oral tradition.
The pantheon of Jewish literature.
Right. And the Midrash asks Peter's question.
That wasn't really my question.
In a rather creative way. The Midrash tells the story. Now, don't ask me why this made its way into the Midrash. Don't ask me, because I don't have an answer. Perhaps the author of the Midrash was more hip than many people think. And perhaps he put it in the Midrash so that this evening can present the answer. The Midrash tells about a student of one of the great Talmudic sages who was wondering, does his rabbi have fun? Is there passion? Or, the more religious you are, the more Hasidic you are, the more black-hatted you are, the more fundamentalist you are, the more hawkish you are, the more closed-minded you are, the less fun you have. You may not even know, you know, what your wife looks like or what your husband looks like, and it's just about populating the world with Jews. So this student, who knew that his rabbi was deeply spiritual, wanted to see. I don't know, I guess what he did was illegal, but it's recorded in the book, so tough luck.
You didn't write it.
Right. He gets in trouble, right? So he actually sneaks into the home to observe. And this student, who hasn't grown up religious, so he's been out there and has been around the block 9, 10, 11 times, knew what electricity or passion means. And he writes in the Midrash that he has never seen so much passion, so much nuclear, intimate energy. He didn't use the word nuclear. It's before the Manhattan Project. As he has observed between his rabbi and his spouse. The question is why? Why? So perhaps you might say, oh, in the bedroom they're not really religious. Sure, you're religious. Yeah, of course. You know, you go home, you encounter reality, right? I know of a mother who came to a rabbi. She says, Rabbi, you got to help my son, he's going crazy. Rabbi says, what's going on? She says, my son started to wear these fringes. And he's going to become the fringe of society. My son started to wear kippahs. He won't walk into McDonald's. He puts on these weird tefillin. He does Shabbos. I mean, he will soon need to be institutionalized. You're a wise man, Rabbi. Please save him before it's too late. The rabbi said, I don't understand you, my dear friend. I do the same. I wear a kippah, I put on tefillin, I wear the fringes. I mean, you're coming to me. She says, Rabbi, you don't understand. You get paid for it, but he means it. You know, you get 140 grand a year. I mean, you got to give a Sabbath sermon. But my son, the poor kid, means it, you know. In Yiddish, they say, I mean, this metanamas. So that's one perspective.
Never.
And I'm sure it's true about certain people. You know, I know religious people who can pickpocket you. I know those people. Just as I know secular people who, when it comes to sensitivity towards another person, they're like saints or angels. But I want to understand the Midrash. Why did this person have more fun or more passion than anybody else? To make the question a little more encompassing, even though this is quite encompassing for those under 21, and even for those under 81, we're also allowed to talk about other subjects. When a chassid eats an apple, okay, foolish example, eats a good shtickel sushi, or Szechuan beef, or drinks a great goblet of wine, or smells a beautiful aroma, does the apple or the sushi or the food or the wine taste as powerful? Does it have a dazzling impact as it does for the person who's much more connected to the physical world? The answer is that the role model that Judaism tries to cultivate actually enjoys the apple much more and enjoys the food much more. How? So the Baal Shem Tov says, in Genesis, there is a lovely moment. Abraham and Sarah live in Israel. There is hunger. They go down to Egypt. When they're entering Egypt, Abraham turns to Sarah and he says, I have now discovered that you are a beautiful woman. Oh, they've only been married 42 years. That's so nice. Oh, that's so romantic. Wow. 42 years took me to convince you. I mean, it's a ridiculous statement. So Rashi, the great biblical commentator, struggles and he gives three answers. We won't get into it. But let's do the Baal Shem Tov's answer. The Baal Shem Tov says, when they were in Israel, which is a metaphor for a state of expanded consciousness, when Abraham viewed Sarah, he saw her beauty as a reflection of divine beauty. By going down to Egypt, he lost touch with the depth of his wife's beauty. Suddenly he saw her beauty as merely a physical, bodily phenomenon. And this was a very deep descent in Abraham's romantic life. Hmm. Intimacy can be viewed as two ways. Your spouse's beauty can be experienced in two ways. One is, that's a beautiful body. It gets me excited. I'm not going to elaborate. And that's true, and it's powerful, and it's intense, and it's electrifying, and it lasts for 4.5 minutes. And there's something else. Beauty originates in, this is what the Kabbalist would say, beauty originates in the divine energy called Tiferet, which is infinite, which is endless. Its richness is limitless, and its depth is endless. My wife's beauty is a reflection of divine grace. And for that matter, the taste of the apple, the sweetness of the apple, from the Jewish mystical perspective, is a physical manifestation of that energy called divine sweetness. So when I taste the sweetness of the apple, I sense in the sweetness so much more richness, so much more depth, because I am in touch with its entire reality from the highest spiritual source all the way to the lowest evolution into the physical. You can experience the energy of your spouse and of the person you love with a richness and a depth that literally reflects divinity and infinity.
Very well. All right, very beautiful. Again, if anyone has a problem with those answers, want to rebut at the end, feel free to do so.